Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
At the end of the day, being super transparent, there are days where I don't want to do this anymore.
And time isn't just a healer, God is.
Scarcity mindset can apply to the taking of too many opportunities.
Yeah.
This is part of my calling. Obviously, this is God opening up doors, but not every door that is opened
needs to be walked through.
And not every door that is opened is from God.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth, and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's Christmas special, we are going to be reflecting on the year and talking about overcoming the challenges that 2023 presented us with. We know it's a great festive period, you know, a great reflective time, and hopefully you'll be able to get something inspiring, wise, etc. out of this episode. But we thought, you know, Christmas time, reflective time, sometimes you're even dealing with family and you're thinking about the year ahead and the year just gone, and you're exhausted, you're tired, you fought all these battles for the year. And we thought, you know what, let's reflect on what this year has presented us with. Many of you are trying to avoid that strongest soldier list of 2024. And some of us unfortunately made it onto it in 2023. So let's just so we thought, let's just reflect on that and what has happened, especially before we head into the new year. And let's just talk about overcoming the challenges and the battles of 2023 and the hope, the lessons, all of that gained from such events and warfare.
Warfare. Do you know what's been ringing in my head? You know the song, Truth Is I'm Tired.
Shout out to Tamala Mann.
Tamala
Mann.
Prophetic
ministration. Oh, that song is.
That voice?
Options are few.
God.
I've tried to pray, but where are you?
I'm looking.
I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't think what's left to do. So take me to the king.
That was a lady at the end of her tether. I can't lie to you. I've definitely had my moments where I've been at the end of my tether this year. Gosh, take me to the king.
Gosh.
Have you ever had a moment like this year where it's just like, Lord, actually Lord, take me over.
Several times.
Or like sometimes you even look outside and be like, you know what? If rapture or
happens,
like if
today,
something, I wouldn't be too mad.
Wouldn't even be mad at
because
it.
Because things are occurring that are making me feel a little bit, you know.
Anyways, so we have a lot to get into. But before we get into that, let's do some housekeeping.
Yes.
As you can tell, I have been bullied before this episode. Oh, wait, guys. I was so adamant that I wasn't going to wear these antlers. And then Renee's eyes, she was talking to me about something, then her eyes watered up. And I thought, damn. How does one make their friend happy again? Put on these dumbass ears.
But guys, first of all, there's just so much that we need to take in about Courtney's look today, okay? The girls have been waiting. First of all, the hair.
I cut my hair
off. She cut her hair. If you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple, you need to run. We need the YouTube views. Anyway, we need you to run to YouTube. Have a look at Miss Courtney's hair. Doesn't she just look fantastic? I've always said to Courtney, she's one of the few friends that I have that genuinely, but short hair is just for her.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Somebody that can rock short hair. It's giving TWA, but it's also giving moisturized goodness. It's just gorgeous. It's wonderful. Some of us, end up looking like small boys. Others of us end up looking like radiant Nubian queens. So Courtney's giving us radiant Nubian. And then on top of that, sis came up with the juicy red lap.
A little glossy.
So we're trying to
I was wearing a nude lip before, and then Renee came out with a red lip. She inspired me. I was influenced.
Oh my gosh. You know, there you go. If the word is influenced. She said bullied. I believe that the word is influenced.
No. As for the ears, that's bullying.
Let me get to the ears.
Okay.
I think this makes the look just so complete. It's giving Christmassy. It's giving cute, but also you've got a little bit of fun to you. Do you know what I mean? It's giving
spunk.
Yeah, it's giving spunk. It's giving cute Christmas elf, you know, it's giving Mrs. Klaus, you know what I'm saying?
Someone come and collect their friend.
Anyways, guys, another year in the running. CDB is wearing the Atlas.
2-0. I actually think it's 2-0. I'm just going to give in, guys. Be careful of the friends that you keep. That's how they'll have you compromising
bringing
your values.
Bringing you some Christmas joy. joy. So if you do have a friend that is maybe in a bar humbug spirit, you might want to buy them some £1 Atlas and influence them.
You've kept these well, though. If this was me, I would have lost these a long time ago.
You know what? I kept it in my suitcase because I'm that person that's like, oh, we might need these in like a year's time. And
here we are, a year later.
We might even get TMS like embroidered ones.
Why not a little TMS on the here?
Yeah, I think that would be so cute. So.
Initially, I was going to make Renee wear both.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I came out with both of them. I said, I'm going to make it work.
But yeah, so if you want to come and enjoy the visuals this Christmas, then you can. This is as Christmassy as this episode will get.
That's all we have.
We talk
you.
About the trauma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
is there any other housekeeping stuff?
I don't think so. I think as we're, you know, nearing the Christmassy festive season, I think just making sure that you check in with everybody around you. Yeah. I know that there are some people that I've even spoken to, friends and family, that may not have people that they're hanging out with over the holiday season up until New Year's. So I think the housekeeping is just check out for a sister.
Yeah. And check out for yourself as well. Yep. The holiday season can feel very overwhelming, but also very, you just come into it feeling quite tired. Some of you may be feeling ample amounts of excitement towards it as well. Don't want to negate or ignore that. It's a very exciting time, a time full of a lot of hope, a lot of warmth, family and things like that. But for a lot of you as well, you may be feeling like, oh, gosh, I'm just tired. Mm-hmm. So really hope that you're checking in with yourself and you're resting. Yeah. You're paying attention to like your emotions, your energy level this season as well, especially as you may be interacting with loads of people who you may not have seen in a while, or you just don't really care to talk to. So yeah, just take care of yourself, you know, but also see the joy in this season as well.
Yeah.
Life is very, very short. This year went by so, so quickly. So getting to spend time with everyone whilst they're still here is really important,
for sure.
Yeah, well, I think that's all the housekeeping
that is
stuff.
All the housekeeping stuff.
Well, despite the fact it's Christmas, because I think this episode is coming out on Christmas Eve, but you can watch it whenever. Mm-hmm. Somebody is in need of help, and our duties don't stop.
They don't.
When it comes to helping the sisters, we don't go no,
sending
we don't.
The sisterhood helps.
So I think it's time to answer a ding ding ding.
Oi, Lemma.
And this one is very fitting to today's episode.
Oh
yes. Hi TMS fam.
Hi.
I hope you're good. Hey. I was wondering if you have some sound advice for me. For context, I'm 27 and I lost my mother about a year ago, leaving me as one of the main caregivers for my younger sibling. Mm-hmm. My grandmother took my younger sibling as I worked in a different city and I was still in a junior position in my career. My life has taken a complete 360, going from having zero responsibilities outside of myself to being responsible for an entire human whose father has abdicated himself of all responsibility, plus dealing with my mother's estate, which has left me financially, spiritually, and mentally drained.
Damn.
I was fortunate enough to secure a new position this year with a higher pay in the same city as my family. However, I'm in the most toxic team with a manager who makes my life hell. I somehow managed to muscle my way through work and earned a promotion for next year to a more senior position in a different city with a new manager. My dilemma is that with everything I've been through since my mother passed, I'm afraid I'm going to crash at the most pivotal moment of my career. My mental health is the worst it's ever been. I'm losing weight from stress, which is the first for me because I'm a stress eater. I feel so alone in all that I go through and have to deal with. As much as I have my grandmother, she does so much for me. I can't imagine burdening her with this. I don't know if I have the strength to continue, and I currently cannot afford therapy as a large chunk of my money goes towards settling my mother's debts on a monthly basis on top of my own, as well as the rising cost of living. I don't know if God can see me through this. I'm so afraid. I just need a break to process everything that's happened, but I can't afford to take one. My career means so much to me, and the thought of losing everything I've worked so hard for kills me. Any advice on how to cope with this situation?
Goodness me.
When I read it, I was like, wow.
Wow, sis. First of all, I am so, so, so sorry for the loss of your mother. Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely praying that, you know, God can comfort you and your family during this time. And I really, really pray that you can find some solace in knowing that you were definitely loved, and that praying that she is in a better place, and that now your family can really, like, hopefully move on I know it's a very difficult time because it feels like there's also a lot of things that are in disarray as a result of this. So your mother's estates, your mother's debt, the fact that you are now one of the primary caregivers to, you know, a younger sibling that you weren't anticipating for. So I just want to actually acknowledge and say, like, we see you, sis. Like, it's not easy. It's very easy for us to take up these mantles of responsibility and then feel unseen and unheard and uncared for, especially because we are now in a position where we have to do the caring. So just to first say, we acknowledge, we are sorry, we see you, and we're praying for you and really pray that God can comfort you during this time. I ain't gonna lie to you, sis, you've been dealt a really tough hand. It seems like you are very wound up and wound into very delicate, intricate and complex kind of situations right now. And being very honest with you, I can't come and give you, you know, come with a magic wand and say, this is how you can fix your life. I think it's one of those things where you have a particular hand that you've been dealt, and it's how do you manage this effectively and efficiently in the hope of a better future? So I think right now, whilst you can't necessarily afford to take a break, it may be worth, you know, even taking a day off or thinking about some hours within the day where you can actually reclaim your time. I think it's really, really important for you to prioritize that. It may not be the long break that you need, but I think a couple of smaller sporadic breaks to just recuperate, rest, and actually get your mental health back on track is really, really important. And putting in time for yourself is really, really important. And congratulations on the promotion. I know it's definitely not easy, and I've had my fair share of working in environments that are not the most conducive to your mental health. So congratulations on, you know, making it through as far as you have. And congratulations for the promotion. It's not easy to be in those environments and still thrive in a way that other people can actually recognize you for it. So congratulations for the promotion. Very, very well deserved. And I'm so, so, so proud of you. We are so proud of you, and you really celebrate you. So well done for that. And in terms of just thinking about how to manage your time now and then thinking about the future, I think as it pertains to your job, it really is trying to find the silver lining in what feels like a desperately bad situation. So as much as I don't know the extent to which you have relationships with some of your work colleagues, but it may be, you know, taking the small steps of trying to alleviate or at least create relationships with some of the people that you're working with. It doesn't have to be best mates or anything like that. But one thing that I realized with like my working situations is life is made easier the more people that you have on your side. So really trying to at least have positive working relationships. No one is saying that you have to go to the pub or, you know, all of that all of that nonsense, but at least trying to partake in company culture. Again, I know it's really difficult, especially with what you're dealing with right now, but trying to partake a little bit in company culture, really resting in the fact that you have laurels to rest on. You've been promoted, you've been doing really, really well, so you should be respected at your particular position, is definitely something that I would say. I don't know how you're managing your finances beyond kind of clearing your, you know, mother's debt and also thinking about caregiving responsibilities, but also potentially thinking about how do I put money aside for the future. As much as, you know, your younger sibling, you are one of the caretakers, and thank God that you actually have your grandmother too. Like, God bless her. We thank God for her life as well, and the fact that she's been preserved to even support you. And I think right now you shouldn't feel guilty about going to her for that help and support, because that's actually, she is a big part of your life now that your mother is also not here. And the fact that she's been willing to step in and support and, you know, be a part of that caregiving responsibility, don't feel guilty, because it was never your responsibility to raise your younger sibling anyways.
And she'll understand that.
Right. And she'll definitely understand that. So I think leaning on her, being honest with her, understanding what her capacities are as well, so that you can come to some kind of mutual understanding agreement as to how you may want to run things, is super important. I think it's also worth remembering that your younger sibling is not going to be young forever. And eventually they will grow up and be able to, God willing, be self-sufficient as well. So understanding that this is a temporary season for you too. And coming back to the finances point, preparing for that, right? Like, as much as it can be so tempting and the right now is so pressing and urgent to clear debts and really think about how to make sure that you are afloat, I think because you've now entered into, hopefully, fingers crossed, a tax bracket that is allowing you to be a bit more flexible, at least earn a little bit more, it may be worth thinking about how do I invest into my future as well, because these caregiving responsibilities will certainly not be forever. Absolutely. And this pressure will not be forever. I think even the underpinning sentiment that I want to share with you in my thoughts towards this dilemma is this is not a forever situation. Amen. And God sees you and God sees that. I think sometimes we can make our current reality, and I think it's actually so fitting to what we're speaking about this year, we can frame our future by our current reality and think that because we have experienced a bad year or a bad few months or a bad couple of months or years are ahead, then our entire life is going to be defined by that particular season. Absolutely not. It may be one of the contributing factors, but it doesn't have to define your entire life. So really understand that, yes, you may be down bad in some of these areas, but remember and have hope that this is a finite season in your life that will be overcome. So yeah, I would say lean into your grandmother, lean into the fact that you are doing super, super well at your job. Try and take the mini breaks where you can. And if you do have friends, you haven't really mentioned much about the support system that you have outside of your familial structure. I know that therapy is difficult, and I'm not saying that your friends will stand in as therapy, but sometimes it's worth just, you know, offloading or having conversations with your friends. Even literally, like before this episode, there's even been times where before episodes where me or Courtney will be like, sis, I'm not feeling too good today. Can you like level with me? What are your thoughts on this? Can you support me? And the support may not look like offering some kind of solution. Sometimes the support looks like being held. Sometimes the support means being interceded for in prayer. Sometimes the support means literally just like being present. And I think it's important, if you do have friends, hopefully you do, like folks around you that you can start to have relationship with, not only can they be a support system, but they can also be a really beautiful part of your life right now. Creating opportunities for you to hang out with your friends, creating opportunities for you to have a life that is above and beyond just your responsibilities and the things that you have to answer to is really, really important. So that is what I would say. But sis, I really want to let you know that we are praying for you. This does not have to define your entire life. This is a season. It may feel like it's stretching on and on, but it is a season in a lifetime of joy and happiness that we really want for you. And I think also just leaning into the fact that you matter. It may be so tempting to just minimize how you're feeling or minimize the fact that you are important and you need to be cared for. You still deserve care. You are still deserving of care. And just because your primary caregiver is no longer present, that doesn't mean that you are not worthy of care or that you don't need care. And unfortunately, you're in a position where you get care from may be, have diminished a little bit, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't prioritize it. So prioritize the times, the small times that you can get in a day or within a week to take care of yourself. Prioritize, you know, getting care, receiving care and having that care from your grandmother if you can. Prioritize receiving care from the other support systems that you have around you. But you are deserving of care. You should be cared for. And even whilst you are taking care of other things, don't forget that you still need to prioritize taking care of you.
That's really good. I would love to hear
your thoughts.
I think you've hit everything that I wanted to talk about, especially that friend aspect. I know when you do not have the resources for therapy, or like you have other priorities, which you rightfully actually do, therapy, it feels like, oh, there's no help that you can get. But actually community, friends, just having people around to like you said, hold you and just pray for you, or to even just be a listening ear to your sorrows, to your pain, can really be some of the healing that you need, especially as you just prepare to maybe go to therapy in the future. I don't know if you've taken the time you've needed to grieve your mom. It sounds like you lost her quite suddenly, or unexpectedly. And so I would also say, give yourself some time to grieve. And I think if you're in a really healthy work environment, letting your work maybe know that you may need a little bit of time off to just breathe, grieve. I would also say maybe, and I'm not sure, you probably already doing it, but spend some time nurturing the relationship between you and your younger sibling. I think it's very easy to be saddled with the responsibility of parentification and suddenly having to be someone's guardian or main caregiver, and then build resentment to that fact over time. Not to say that you feel that right now, but I would say you and your sibling have gone through the same thing, right? You've both lost a parent. And whilst your younger sibling's experience and understanding of that may differ towards you, you two are what you have, as well as your grandmother as well, but you are what you have. And so take time for you and your sibling, your sibling and your grandmother, to do things that nurture a familial relationship and doesn't just feel like it's always, this needs to be paid for, someone needs to take care of this person. Like, it feels like it's all being defined right now by responsibility. And I do understand that the reality of that is setting in very heavy for you, because it's the forefront thing that has changed about your life right now. But you are still siblings, you are still family. And so take time to really invest in that side of things. Make time to laugh, make time to make memories, take pictures with each other. Like, really be grateful of the fact that you guys are still here. You have the beautiful memories that you had with your mother. Hopefully they were beautiful. Cherish those, share those with one another, and really allow this to be a holistic grieving process, but also allow yourself to be drawn closer together and lean on your family. And I completely believe in what you said in terms of, whilst your grandmother has faced a lot of responsibility and you have too, she's probably the only person who really understands what it is you're facing. And so lean on her. And I wouldn't see, if somebody who's been able to step up this much and help you this month, I don't see her then being like, oh, you're doing too much, you're relying on me too much. I think she'll want to be that touch point for you. And so lean on that, lean on that community, lean on her maternal love as well, because I think it could really serve you in this period also. And as Renee said, all I can do is echo, this is just a season. Like, we really do pray this is just a season. And yes, you're going to have to put on your big girl pants and think about financial planning and budgeting and taking care of someone else, but don't negate taking care of you. And like Renee said, God does see you. Like, he sees what's happening and you are handling it. He's helping you handle it. Two promotions, it's not small. It is not small. Going from a team which you hate to a team which you love, it is not small. God's hand is all over you. And sometimes it's annoying, or we don't understand it, because it looks like grief, it looks like loss, it looks like sorrow. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I think that you need to remember that this is a night season, but the night is just a season. The morning will always come. And so allow yourself to have grace for yourself, because God is having grace for you. And he does see you. He does understand what's happening. And he's with you all the way. Lean on him. Pray. A huge part of our faith, or obviously you just mentioned God, so I don't know where you're at spiritually, but also like, a huge core tenet of our faith is lamenting, lament to God, to share your sorrows. But the one thing, and I think I heard this recently somewhere, where it was like, when Job lost everything, the bit that really kept him close to God was the fact that in all his complaining, it was to God. He was praying. His communication with God never ceased. Even in his pain, even in his strife, even in his expression of, I don't understand what's happening. I feel like everything is conspiring against me. When he was speaking those things, he was saying them to God. And a lot of us feel like we can't talk to God in that way. But trust me, if you read Psalms, if you read Job, if you hear some of the things that David was saying to God, you would think, how can you talk to God this way? But honestly, it's just allowing yourself to talk to God, because he understands. God has heard far worse, and what you're doing is you're trusting him with your pain. And I think with this, you need to trust him, you need to trust community with your pain, because you have every right to feel it. And there's only a few people in this space that can actually help you heal it. And time isn't just a healer, God is. And so allow yourself to really go to him with the pain that you're feeling, and allow yourself to sit in that, because I can only imagine how this can rock your life, your entire life. And sis, I don't want you to get to a place of like deep depression or suicide, and these things easily creep in when you feel like my life is just terrible and it's always going to be this way. Yes, there is pressure, but this pressure is going to produce something so much more beautiful for you. And that is our honest prayer for you. We pray that you don't lose your mind, because that's an easy thing to happen. Like, we really pray that you find the peace, the love of family, whatever can be found in this season that is good, you deserve it. And we pray for you to experience it, but also give yourself the room to lament, to cry, to grieve. And we hope and we pray that your mum is resting well, and that you and your grandmother and your sibling will make a beautiful thing out of the ashes of this situation.
Amen.
So yeah, thank you for trusting us with that dilemma, and we just pray for a revitalization of energy for you as well. Amen. As you are, you know, financially, spiritually, mentally drained, we just pray that God replenishes you in every area, even in a supernatural way. Even if you don't find the words to ask for it, we pray for that on your behalf. And so yeah, all the best. Yeah, email us if anything, reach out to friends and family if anything. So yeah, that was that dilemma.
Yeah.
And I just thought that, yeah, it would be a good like link to this episode, because this year's been a lot. This year has been a lot. Sure. Like in the best and the worst ways. I thought it would give us a great opportunity to reflect, because this is episode 51.
Crazy.
Of season 4.
Season 4. 4 seasons.
I think this is episode 52. Is it episode 51?
No, it's
50, when I messaged you,
52, you episode 50.
When I messaged you, I was like, can you believe this is episode 50? 50. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. 50.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, for a long time, and 3 years plus of TMS.
3 years plus of TMS.
3 years. We got a toddler,
weekly,
man.
Weekly episodes. Yeah, she really is a toddler.
You guys better have been glowing and growing. You know, that's.
Can you imagine? But yeah, like this year, we have just been coming with podcast, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, I think with mm-hmm. us, not to toot our own horns, but toot. We've like, no matter what happens, we always sit down in front of these mics and create episodes. And like you actually said, there are times where, and this episode isn't just about us, like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not just centering us. We want to share some things which will hopefully yeah. help us entirely as a sisterhood, as yeah. a community. But there have been times where we will have the crappiest weeks, like weeks, awful. Guys,
awful.
Like awful weeks, days, mornings, everything. And we're still like, we're going to sit down and record episodes. And I think this is TMS is one of those things that has anchored us to purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
So we haven't had, whilst there has been temptations to run away from what God is calling us to do and who he's calling us to be,
yeah.
there's always been something that's forced us to confront it and yep. accept it,
yep.
Which has been TMS for me anyway.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
think for you as well, for where sure. it's like this sense of responsibility, this sense of commitment. You know, you said you're going to do something. You said that there are people who you're serving, so show up and serve. So now you kind of not have to suppress your feelings, but really contend with them, I'd mm-hmm, even say. And mm-hmm. So I thought this would be a really good episode to kind of reflect on the good, the bad, the ugly yeah. That has happened in 2023, but also how it's grown us
yeah.
as people
yeah.
and the lessons that we have learned that we can kind of impart to our sisters.
For sure.
So that, heck, I really hope you guys don't have to face it. Well, also...
frontline warriors.
So that if you do, yeah. you'll also yeah, know yeah. that there's beauty on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So how you been,
girl? Miss ma'am, you know what's even funny about this episode, guys? Like literally right before it, me and Courtney were having like a mini catch up and part of the reflection process of this episode genuinely had me very emotional because it's one thing to think about, you know, the highs and all that kind of stuff, but to genuinely contend and to genuinely think and allow yourself to really process what has gone what you've gone through, yeah. especially through a year. We've had, as you've said, the highs of the highs. This has been an excellent year.
Ooh.
But that which has the capacity to go very, very high also has the capacity to go low, low, low. And let me tell you something. I have seen rock bottom. You have seen rock bottom. Jesus. We have seen the bottom of that rock. The bottom of that rock.
We know what the bottom of that rock looks like.
We have been frontline, you know, soldiers. We've been in the trenches. And I think for me, there was almost a sense of overwhelm at all of these different emotions and the fact that it's produced such maturity. I remember when we were reflecting even on our year and our yeah. friendship and stuff, and the word that was used was maturity. And not to say that we're at the pinnacle, because no, guys, we're still baby girls.
We are. Well, we really are.
Even that whole, we're still baby girls. We're running out of time through
it. In spirit.
Baby girls in spirit. But the word was really maturity. And I love how you framed it around what kind of fruit is this producing, because oftentimes that has anchored me
yeah.
and has given me the will to continue when the will is lacking, like lacking. And having systems in place to ensure that we can still carry out purpose has been yeah. so important to me, because at the end of the day, being super transparent, there are days where I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I actually don't want to do my work because I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm not, you know, feeling good. But I have to do it because I know that I'm called to a higher purpose and I care about this.
Come on.
And it's the confliction, well, the conflicting states of being tired, being, you know, run down, being going through bouts of depression with I have so much joy and so much purpose that I need to fulfill and sometimes sitting with them at the same time. So even for me, I think one of the biggest challenges that I have faced this year is kind of twofold. It is the one contending with these emotions, but also understanding that suppression isn't regulation or contending. I am definitely the kind of person that can, I have interpreted maturity as putting my emotions to the side and continuing to go,
just getting
things done. You know, some growth is at the other side of the pain. Go through the pain. Sometimes you actually have to feel the pain. And from having conversations with you, through listening to a whole bunch of podcasts, to thinking about, you know, things like therapy, I've really understood that you actually cannot suppress your emotions. It is not possible. And the suppression will just manifest itself in anxiety. And oftentimes your anxiety is a signal. It's your body telling you that there's something wrong with you emotionally. And so for me, having to look back at 2023, where I've had, have experienced high anxiety, and actually contending with the fact of I have some suppressed emotions that I need to deal with or I need to process, has been so hard for me, especially coming on like a podcast like this, or being somebody that's so interested in personal growth and optimization and stuff like that. Knowing that there's still work to do is so frustrating. And knowing that there's still emotions that need to be processed through, because at the end of the day, I am human. And understanding that, suppression is not regulation. You have to feel the emotion. And I don't mean just like, oh, I'm angry, I've identified the emotion. You physically have to feel it. Oh, Courtney, there's been times I've been angry. Guys, let me tell you, there's been times that I've been angry. I've been like, grr. Like, I've actually even said grr.
Not the growl.
Courtney, nah.
Nah, guys, I've been there.
I don't want to like air anybody's dirty laundries, but like disagreements or arguments that I've gotten into in 2023. And like, I've been so frustrated that I literally said, grr, like, in the conversation, Courtney. Grr. Do you know how funny that is? Like, grr. Like, you know, when you're so upset that you do something and you're like,
what do I even do to let this out?
So the bodily experience of these emotions have jarred me so much, because they're often the ways, like when I have suppressed the emotions, it will come out in a girl. It will come out in like a sudden outburst of actually I'm crying, like weeping. I'm not a massive crier. This year I've cried. This year I have cried, guys. I have cried over relationships. I have cried over work. I have cried over finances. I have wept this year. And in a way, I found it so cathartic, because I have started to allow myself and my body to experience the emotions as they are coming as part of that process. So I think for me, I would really be encouraging the sisters that are listening in. Suppression doesn't make you more mature. Suppression isn't a means of regulation. Suppression will lead to anxiety and your body will catch up to you fast, very, very quick. So if you need to cry, cry. If you need to be angry, if you need to go to a rage room, in fact, rage room appointment is actually pending.
Overdue.
I was watching an episode of 911. That's my latest obsession. And they went to a rage room in one of the episodes and just smashing things up with a baseball bat. I want to do that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. But really prioritizing in 2024, leaning into my emotions, obviously not allowing my emotions to completely lead my life, but allowing my body to experience those emotions so that I can process them, understand them, and then regulate them. For me, it was like, oh, I felt it, move on. And I think what was really interesting, I was listening to a podcast episode by Adam Young, We Find Ourselves, love him. And he was talking about how sometimes, especially for those that are more spiritual, or like those that are, you know, have a faith, obviously ours is Christianity, we need to realize that what the Bible says on managing our emotions is actually a lot more complex than we give it credit for. Yeah. And there's a temptation to, oh, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be worried, you shouldn't be anxious, you shouldn't feel these particular ways. And it's like, no, whilst there is something to be said about, you know, resting in the strength and the joy of the Lord, I love what you were saying about the fact that God is there to be lamented to.
Yeah.
And part of being able to rest in that strength, in that joy of the Lord, is to actually express and then process. So for me,
so good.
Man, overcoming the temptation to suppress my emotions and to suppress the fact that I'm actually upset or angry or I've been hurt by certain situations in 2023. And allowing myself to feel it and then process. It's not just our process healed. You have to experience it first.
That's so good. And I've been there this year as well. Like, you have to actually, you can compartmentalize, especially when, and I think this is the thing that we've learned this year. This year we have seen so many doors open and so many opportunities come our way in the areas of our work, right? Especially with TMS. Mm-hmm. This year we became published authors. Cool. This year we've got like so many speaking engagements, so many appearances, loads of campaigns to do. It was just like, wow, like people are even recognizing us as like, no, we need to talk to you. And people who we've looked up to have been like, when can I get a meeting with you? Let's have a chat. Let's have a catch up. And it's like, oh my gosh, wow, that's amazing. So there are now so many windows to have to show up in that you're like, crap, I've just gotten this message, or I just had this fight with this person, or I've just seen my bank balance, or the bank has just told me this, or this, I just received an email that like, oh, this thing that I was anticipating is not happening, but crap, in 10 minutes I have a meeting with someone, or crap, in 20 minutes we have to record an episode, two episodes back to back. And it's like, I actually have to take that feeling of anger or pain or sadness or disappointment, whatever, and put it somewhere. But I think the temptation, especially with high functioning people like us, is to leave it and forget it there. And it's like, the pain doesn't go away. It's in a closet somewhere. Listen. That closet's in you, right? And so no matter what you're doing, no matter how cute you look, you're going to show up with that pain still somewhere. And one day it's all going to fall out of the wardrobe, right? It's all going to, like you said, it's going to be lashing out. So the other day I lashed out at someone very badly. And even I was like, I think I need to go back to therapy. Who the hell was that? I haven't seen my rage manifest in such a vicious way, especially towards someone I love. I was disappointed in myself, and I even came home that day and I was like punching the air, because I was like, punching the air in the hallway. Burst out laughing. But literally I was like, I've got all this energy stored up in my body, like negative energy stored up in my body, and I need it to get out somehow, because it's literally making my blood boil. Like, I feel itchy on the inside, right? And I think because the temptation for us is to leave it somewhere, you forget that actually you're putting it there to come and contend with it at a time, right? And I think it's been intentionally carving out that those times to be like, you know what? I actually need this protective 1 hour or 2 hours every day to deal with the things that I've put aside so that I could show up professionally, right? So that I can be like, oh, hi, God. So-and-so said this to me today. I wanted to kill them. So where do we go from here?
Then so-and-so came and tried to hug me, and I said, I wanted to punch them in the face. I will slap you in your face. I will actually beat you.
Yeah, so it's just like really contending with it, because like you said, and I think it's that realization we come to every year, every so often, where it's like, I'm just a human being, right? I can't, I don't have to be superhuman. And I think one thing this year that has really challenged me is I have to let go of my perfectionism. It actually cannot work anymore. So counterproductive. It actually cannot work anymore. Because not only do I hold myself to this impossible standard, I'm starting to hold other people to it too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Their shortcomings really piss me off, because I'm like, but if it was me, I would have done it like this. And it manifests as a type of pride and arrogance or like self-righteousness.
When I say you're gingering my spirit, you know when someone puts language to how you're feeling, that, yeah, because that one was right there.
That one's been right so horrible. Because it's like, why can't you just like suck it up and be, and it's that person is being reminding, I'm a human. It's like, well, do better, be it's, better.
It's like, why is your approach, you're in your head, you're like, why is your approach so problematic? The problem is actually
you. The way you deal with things is problematic, because in my head it's like, no, I would have just sucked it up. I would have just taken it. I would have just been like, and it's all of that compartmentalization suppression. That's the language you use. It's all of that suppression that we do. But then when you meet someone who's like, no, I'm not going to suppress this feeling. I'm actually going to live in it. Mm. You're kind of like, oh, you're so childish. Yeah.
Get over it.
Oh my gosh. How are we going to move forward?
How are we going to progress?
Do you get what I mean? And they're like, no. And usually those are the least toxic people, because they're like, no. As soon as I feel an issue, I want to address it. Obviously not in a toxic, immature way. But for us, I think when you're so used to suppression, when people express and kind of manifest that expression, you're like, oh my gosh, you're moving really crazy. But like you said, it's actually not maturity what we do.
Right.
Suppression isn't maturity. Sometimes maturity is in the healthy expression or the healthy contending.
That's good.
And I think despite having to show up all the time and definitely not complaining, I wouldn't change a lot of what happened this year for the world. Despite having to show up and be our best selves and almost become personalities, like people encounter us and they expect us to be how we are on the podcast. Yeah. So you want to give them that energy. You want to give them the wisdom, the vim, the warmth, all of that. But then you still have to go back into your room or whatever, your safe place and be like, I actually need to face my own feelings as well. And that's going to look very messy. The amount of times I've cried this year is criminal. Criminal. And guys, when I you said you're not a crier, when I say I'm not a crier, I don't give a damn. I'm not crying. I'm surrounded by a lot of people who like cry, like even at movies, oh, that was so emotional, they turn on the lights and crying, and I'm just looking at them like,
what happened here?
Why the hell are you crying?
Double harbour
sign. And literally all of my friends are like, no, Courtney, it's okay to cry. I'm like, yeah, for you. For you, to you.
Like, that moved me.
Yeah, that's great. Be moved.
That moved
me. And it's because there's a part of myself that I shut off a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, I completely shut off a very long time ago. And I feel like that's a part of me that's been trying to unlock itself recently. And I'm kind of like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, Courtney, you're the same person right now. No, genuinely, because even one of my biggest reflections as well is I feel like I'm starting to tap into the sensitive side of myself. Like, I'm becoming a lot more sensitive. And then I wonder,
is it have I all, or something?
It might be. We say as with the number of age 30. Then I wonder, is it that I'm becoming more sensitive or was I always sensitive but had shut it off and did not have a safe enough environment to express my sensitivities?
And that's exactly what I'm realizing.
Chickens are like, coming home.
When you do all of this self-work, glowing and growing, what happens is everything around your life, like this stuff actually works, guys. Everything, you know, it's crazy. Everything around your life becomes a safe space.
Yeah.
Your friendships become a safe place. Yeah. Your relationship with your family mends and heals. It becomes a safe place.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happening cognitively, but I guess that's told my brain, this is a great place to be vulnerable. And I'm like, why are you doing
that?
You
know what? Again, it's actually scientific. So a lot of us are in states of various dysregulation.
Yeah.
So I was even like learning this over the past few weeks, etc. But when it comes to like affect regulation, our capacity and how comfortable we feel in expressing ourselves, it is very much reliant on how much our brains and like how connected we feel.
How safe we feel.
Exactly. So the more connected we feel, whilst we may be like interpreting that as, oh my God, I'm breaking down, all of a sudden I'm super sensitive, all of a sudden I'm like airing out things that I previously thought was trivial, it's actually a big factor in that you're in a safer environment, that you've built community, that your brain is recognizing the neurons,
the neuropathways
are realizing that you can actually express yourself,
and you're safe here.
You're safe here. And that's really, really important, because for a lot of people, they don't realize, but it always goes back to childhood, you know, it goes back to back in the day, whether your primary caregivers didn't give you space to express yourself, or you were in certain situations where you were unsafe. The more that your brain starts to recognize you are in safe situations, the more you can actually regulate your affect. So it's not a surprise that as we're getting older, more safer, we're building this community, friendships, relationships, tears galore.
Like, and it's been really interesting, not only seeing what triggers tears, right, but also my response to my tears, and realizing that, like, a lot of the way I respond to myself, I'll never respond to someone else.
Right.
Just like, wow, you are really mean to yourself sometimes. Like, you need to be a lot more softer and sensitive towards yourself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what people are like tooting as like, oh, being feminine, being soft, being is actually just healing. Like, actually doing the deep work of healing. Because I think everyone should experience that safety where your brain goes, you're safe here, calm down, breathe properly, release that tension in your shoulders. Like, you don't have to be on guard with everyone. You don't have to hide parts of yourself. And I think I'm seeing that more in myself and in other people around me, that it's been hard to accept that that's actually a really beautiful thing, because for a long time I've told myself that's weakness, and it's something that should be strayed away from. And so I've been there, man. Becoming more sensitive has been a huge one. Accepting that I am not a superhuman has been a huge one. I think this year for me has been one of the years where I've really experienced like anxiety, like anxiety in new ways. And I think it's because, and as I was reflecting before this episode as well, this year came with such a drastic season shift for me.
Yes.
That I was like, whoa.
Whiplash. You know what it makes me think of? You know, like games like Temple Run?
Yes.
And you know when you hit like the over, I think it's like 500,000
the coins,
and all of a sudden the gaps between are
become longer,
the bends are sharper, you don't even have time, and then all of a sudden I've fallen into the clouds now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that's what it felt like.
This year came with, and I know the exact moment it happened. Cast your mind back to March 2023. I was in bed one day. Asleep, and I woke up suddenly, it was like 2:45 in the morning, and I just woke up, and it was just like, it was after a week of really struggling to sleep. Like, I could not, I think I was telling you about this. I could not find rest anywhere. Oh, you would have thought I was a wicked person. Could not find rest, guys. I was struggling to sleep. I was every night at around like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I would wake up in panic, like really panicked, because I was like, I think it started to dawn on me that, oh my gosh, I've just had this really long gap here. Everything has been really flexible. I've been flying around. I've really enjoyed myself. I've just been YOLOing, doing me. And now I'm having book people and managers being like, can you send me this? Can you do this? Can you? And I'm like, God, I feel like I'm working. What's going on? I'm
working on to the ground. There's what is too going many on? People to answer to.
Literally, and I felt like God told me that night, it was like a few days before our book came out, it's like, your gap year is over. Yep. Get ready to work.
Got it.
And I was kind of like, oh, that's really scary. And then our book came out, and then literally I started, like, opportunities that I didn't think would come started coming out of nowhere. I was now consulting and being a freelancer and doing really well at that, getting different like opportunities here and there. And I was just like, oh my God, now I went from not being busy to being busy all the downtime.
Lord have mercy.
And I was, guys, I don't think I've ever felt so like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm literally taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that approach of I have to take this one day at a time is what has helped me deal with the anxiety, because there was so much worry around what does this month look like? What does this week look like? Oh my gosh, there's so much on my plate. That's just like, you know what? Everything on my plate is digestible.
Yeah.
I just need to take it one bite at a time. Mm-hmm, if mm-hmm. I try to tackle everything, I'm going to choke mm-hmm. and I'm really going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry towards this year, starting from March, simply because I didn't know if I was ready to handle the things I had prayed for.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it coming now. I think sometimes we want to say the prayers, but then also control the manifestation and control the timeline. And it's like, no, God said, okay, now let's do it now. And it's just like, no, I'm not ready for that, actually.
If you don't stop.
Yeah, but one thing I've learned this year about seasons is also that, like, seasons come with windows.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is the window of opportunity. Please take it. Yeah, like, please take it whilst you can. Because sometimes when certain windows close or just go by, you won't get them for quite a while again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's... It was really... It was really drastic. Mm. It was really exhausting, actually. Mm-hmm. I think this year, a word that I can really use to express this year is just tired.
Oh.
And the thing is, the tiredness has coexisted with excitement.
Mm.
Everything has been really exciting, but everything has been really tiring. Oh. And like, you'll find yourself doing something really, really, really cool. And younger me would have thought, oh my God, I should be so excited. I should be bouncing off the wall, so over the moon. But it's all shrouded with tiredness.
Oh, exhaustion. Bags under your eyes. Buying 3 concealers just to cover those Dior bags. No, I resonate with that so, so strongly. Mm. And it's never a good feeling, especially if you're somebody that is high functioning, because that exhaustion is now making you feel like you can't show up in the areas that you have prayed for.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, all these great opportunities are coming up, but then now I don't even have the energy to be able to exploit it to its fullest. And that's something that resonated with me, man. Just all over the place, all over the gaff.
Yeah, yeah.
All over the gaff. And one of our previous episodes triggered me so much in the oh, you can't be the multifaceted babe. I want to let you know. No, because people were even sending messages like, oh my gosh, like I felt like you were talking directly to me. I want to let you know there was only one person I had in mind for that. And that was Renee Amaka Kapuki. That was me. I was talking to myself. It was a one-way conversation. Let me tell you. Wow. Because, wow. The level of stress. And I think what sometimes frustrates me a little bit differently to you is I felt like upon reflection, there were certain things that were taking my focus, which were great things.
Mm.
What I didn't need to be doing.
Mm, mm,
so this the year for me, I was doing a lot of incredible stuff. There was TMS things. Stuff. Yeah, there was TMS. You know, we was traveling. We was outside. The book was coming out. But then additionally, there was a whole bunch of things that I was also equally interested. Well, I wouldn't say equally interested in, but interested I thought in. I was interested in, right? And what I didn't realize until a little bit later on in the year was that a lot of these things were not only taking my energy and my, you know, capacity to just do things, it was also stealing my focus and diverting my focus, diverting me from, you know, my calling, my purpose. So all of these things were good, to use the same quote, all of these things were good, but were they of God? Like God's, was this really part of God's call for my life? All of these things were interesting, but did I have to pursue them now?
Mm.
And I kind of felt a little bit of guilt around the fact that I had created a life where I was doing a lot of different things and I was now exhausted, but I wasn't doing the things all the time that I needed to do. So even the contention around like, am I making the right decisions for my life? And then overthinking it as, oh my gosh, I've decided to do this. This has detracted me from my purpose, my calling, so I can't get back on track. And I think I sat on the extreme end of the spectrum of taking up the windows of opportunities, where I was taking up too many opportunities. Just one scare. Like, one scare. Just taking everything.
That is
and I think, wow, it, upon reflection, it's really making me think that sometimes scarcity mindset can apply to the taking of too many opportunities.
Yeah.
I kept on lulling myself into this false sense of I kept on lulling myself into this false sense of need around, I need to take up every single opportunity that presents myself, because obviously this is part of my calling. Obviously, yeah, this is God opening up doors, but not every door that is opened
needs to be walked through.
Needs to be walked through. And not every door that is opened is from God. You know, sometimes it's, well, if it's not from God, we know who his we know who his assailant is. We know who his adversary is, isn't it? And yeah, I think I went through a very challenging personal process of having to hack down, yeah, having to prune, having to have conversations with people that I had made commitments to, and had to basically not necessarily go back, but we had to figure things out, because I realized this actually wasn't for me. And it was hard, and it felt like such a mature thing to do, to actually go back on my word, or go back on certain situations, right, certain commitments. Because child, I was having some sleepless nights. And I think for me, the spillover, now being overcommitted to all of these things, but undercommitted to all of my other relationships as well. There was even some times where we had like our intervention. I remember one time Courtney, listen, we had an intervention. Courtney was just like, girl, you know when you get the we need to talk text? Nah, guys, there had been a few times where, oh, you're like, friends.
Funny.
I told you, Courtney, I had a lot to say today. You know when you get the we need to talk text from people? This year I got the we need to talk. Like, Renee, like, not even we need to talk and spend time together, but we need to talk, because I can see, as one of your close friends or one of the people that cares about you, you're doing entirely too much and your focus is detracted. And it was so frustrating, because it felt like I was chasing five different rabbits and chasing none, and getting catching none, you know, catching none. So I think the lesson in there is, not every opportunity is for you, and not every window that presents itself is a window that you should jump through. There are certain windows that will open up that will be great, but not every window is of God. And having being tuned into that discernment, sometimes because you're so tuned into taking up every opportunity, you lack the discernment to see, is this an opportunity for me? And then you get frustrated, but God, you know, why am I so tired all the time? Why do I have so many, why is my energy diverted across 10 different things? And God will be like, you already know the answer to it. You're doing too much. So coming towards the end of this year, me scaling back, how much happier I've been, how much more fulfilled I've been, and being able to take that into 2024 has been such a blessing. But the challenge of having to go through that,
100%. And I think you said it right. It's no longer operating from a place of scarcity, and realizing that, like, you don't have to be scared about doing less, because the things that you are doing, the few things which you are doing, can actually make up all the things you want. And I think it's been that approach of having to have faith that, okay, God, like, especially in our situation, not to give too much away, but like, I think you do all of these things because you're like, I really want to provide for myself. I really want to, like, be fulfilled. I really want to almost have these, like, the ability to even just say, I've done these things, especially as, like, high performing people, and then get into a place where you're like, because deep down, I don't believe if I poured my energy into this one thing, this thing will fully work how I need it to. Do you get what I mean? It's not that it can't work, but I need it to, I need to almost create like a, just a bit of a safety net, just in case it doesn't work out very well. I need to be able to say, you know, it's all right, I've got contingencies.
I've got other things.
And I think this year God has really been tackling us on, like, let go of your contingencies. If you say that you really, really trust me, stop that crap. Like, stop the contingency. Stop trying to make things happen for yourself and just follow what I've told you to follow. And it's just like, but God, like,
but you don't understand.
You actually don't get it. I've experienced poverty.
Said yeah, I was there.
Experience. Exactly. You saw the suffering, so why would you want me to go back?
You want me to go back?
And I think it's that understanding that, like, one, God can be trusted.
Absolutely.
Two, we don't have to kill ourselves. Someone's already died on our behalf.
Paid it all.
We actually don't need to kill ourselves.
I've been trying to tell the council tax people that, like, there seems to be some kind of, when I tell them at the rental agencies that Jesus has paid it all, for some reason I still get a
direct
debit.
They don't want to believe.
Every
month.
Hopefully January 2024.
Oh, your little baby, did he not say he's coming back?
And the first thing that he's going to do away with is rent.
But I think one of the things that has helped me with that has been one of the best pieces of advice we've gotten from Kenny and Mafadon when we met with him in August, and he decided early in the morning he would kill us both.
Guys, also, just to say, when this guy comes on the podcast, no, genuinely, because let this be the warning. When this guy comes on the podcast, he's going to tell you the truth. And the thing about the truth is the truth hurts.
The truth hurts.
But it's good for you. Yeah. Listen, that meeting that we had with him just...
Oh, how can somebody tell you get to my office? What was it, like 7 a.m. or something? Get to my office at 7 a.m. We're having a meeting. Sorry, what?
Guys, you know how I said when I was angry, I made the girl sound, yeah? This one, I was shocked. I said, whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. 7 a.m. is quite... Sir, are you sure?
No, but somebody that asks you to meet at 7 a.m., they have things,
they
to,
have
say
things
to,
to say. They have things to say, and they need you alert.
ASAP. They said the crack of dawn. The crust is coming out of your eyes.
We got in there, and one of the pieces of advice I left with so many things from that meeting, but he was very honest with us about like our trajectory and what we need to do in this very pivotal season of our lives in order to really walk where God is going. And he was just like, sometimes you think you have to do more because you think you need more than you actually need.
Right.
And what that, when you really think about it, you recognize that what you're operating in is no longer fear of lack, but actual greed. Like, you just want more and more and more when you don't need it. You actually, and I think when we really deep it, and Claude, my mentor, we were talking about this.
Shout out friend to Claude as well, man.
Yeah. We were talking about this recently, and he was like, are your basic needs covered? You have roof, you have food, you have shelter. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, light work, I can cover that with like one contract. He was just like, so what else are you chasing? Why can't you focus on your dreams? Security. How about that?
It's funny that he said, but you don't understand. I like my iced lattes with caramel and soy.
And it's when you, and nobody's telling you to live in poverty. No one's saying don't enjoy nice things. But we're talking from the lens of there's something we actually need to commit ourselves to, which is a risk.
Yep.
And the reason why we keep telling ourselves we can't commit to that risk is because we have this false idea that we need more than we actually need. And it's like, actually, if you just trust God, he's already proven that he is sufficient to provide all of your needs. Like, it's actually already proven. You're not taking a leap of faith. You just need to step into what it is that God has already prepared for you, right? It's like God is inviting you to the table you've been praying for, but you keep going out and buying your own groceries. Just go and sit down.
But sitting down is hard.
But sitting down, what if he doesn't bring you food?
What if the chair breaks?
What has suggested in your story that he won't provide the food?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, but there's been those moments of scarcity, but those moments of scarcity have always been followed by moments of abundance. And we've seen it there, and we've experienced
it. There we go.
It's just believing in God's track record a bit, you know? And I think we've been harping a lot about believing in our own track record.
Exactly.
But actually, it's not about us and our ability. It's actually about trusting God's and his.
100%. You know? No, I absolutely love that. And where does your faith actually lie? So when you are worried, when you are stressed, when you are scared about the future, that is a big indicator that your trust is actually not in God, but in man.
Everything else.
But also in the specifically in the people that have failed you.
Including yourself, actually. Sorry, just to make that very clear.
That's even the biggest one.
Including yourself, exactly. Most of it is because we trust ourselves.
Stop it. It's funny because we were talking about this. There is a reason that when we say trusting God's promises, this is above all else the most important thing that you should do. Because God made a promise concerning you with himself, not with you. You are not trustworthy.
On his name,
the creator of the universe said, I am concerning you. Mm. I'm making a pact with myself, meaning that there is nothing that you know, can break this, right? God loves us so much, he made a promise with himself.
Not us.
About you. Not you, because you ain't going to come through. One
thing about
you.
You're not going to hold your end of the deal. You're not. We are not going to hold our end of the deal.
And you need to start, you know, realizing that you're not involved in that covenant like that. It is concerning you, but it's not with you.
Yes.
And that you should, there should be so much faith and happiness and joy and knowing peace. That it's not contingent on you, because one thing about you, you're gonna fail. And that's
simple
okay.
as
you're gonna fail. You're gonna fail people it. And you've seen that people have failed you. So stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in the other people. Stop allowing your faith to be determined by the poor experiences you've had with others, and start allowing yourself to trust and believe in God's plan for you. God's perfect plan for you. Plan. Listen, there's a reason why I always banter him and say, Apostle Kenny, you've come to tell us.
But for real, it was a huge realization. I really appreciated it, because I think there are very few people who will be that real with you.
100%.
And I think it also has helped me really just value the people we have around us, who have just kind of taken us under their wing.
Yeah.
But also really believed in what we're doing. Like, this year I have felt so affirmed by the people around me 100%. That like, we are doing the damn thing.
Yep.
And it's also you guys, like every single person that listens to this podcast, we'll just be walking. Was it yesterday we went out here? We're walking, and then somebody was just walking past us and shouted at us, I really love your podcast, keep doing what you're doing. And then you could tell she was on her way to work. So it's just like,
and we love those moments. Because guys, I don't think you understand. Like, there will be moments where we, as Courtney was mentioning earlier, we'll be having the most worst week of them all.
Let me actually, let me describe to you a situation that this is the perfect example of. Because this woman, I don't even know if you're a human being, you might have been an angel.
Oh, genuinely.
We were nominated for Podcast of the Year this year. You guys already know, by the Be Creator Awards.
Yep.
We went to the award show, we looked all cute, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were like, wow. You know when you go and you're like, everyone was giving their speeches where they were really like, I didn't expect to win this. It's not that we expected to win, but because we are highly competitive people, our hope is to win. Yeah, I don't we're not coming there with, if we didn't have hopes to win, why would we come? Do you know what I mean? And so we sat there and we were kind of like, that would actually be really nice to win.
Yeah.
And this is just so cool. You know, we were grateful, but also that competitiveness was there. We didn't win, as you guys know, because we haven't said anything. We didn't win. And then the winners of the category Shits and Gigs, shout out to you guys, because you're actually
killing the podcast game. Yeah, you guys are smashing it, mate.
But I have a gripe. So they won the category. So well done to you guys.
Honestly.
But they didn't come to the award show. They gave like a video acceptance speech. And they talked about this on their podcast, which is why I'm going to talk about it here, where they were like, we won another award. It was like a very obnoxious, like arrogant acceptance video. And they did it like on purpose. They were just bantering because they didn't think they were going to win. So that's what they said on their podcast. And it just left us in that moment, because I have never really like interacted with them in person. I just thought, no one can actually be this arrogant. So I'm glad I found out that it was all just banter, because I was able to laugh at it afterwards. But genuinely, it just made us feel like, wow, like we really wanted to, we're a relatively newish podcast. Yeah. We really wanted to like win this award. And then the people that have won are basically like, oh, it's another one for the books. whatever. So I was just like really upset. So we left that evening just feeling very, and also the evening was a very interesting one, let's not even get into that, but it was just like we left the evening just thinking like, oh, like we had to, you know when the Bible says encourage yourselves, we had to really encourage ourselves. We're like, no, you know what, it's okay, it's not just about awards. Like, firstly, the people that did win in this category really deserved it. We can't deny that. And then also, like, we are having Impact Renee this year, we built a school. And then as we're walking out and we're just like, you can tell we're a little bit sad about everything. On our way to the train station, we meet a girl who's like, oh my gosh, I was just listening. She said to me, she was like, I was just listening to your episode on the Magnify podcast. I love you guys. And literally she stopped us. We were on our way to like catch our last train and she stopped us and she was like, let me tell you something. I moved here as into London because of you guys. You gave me the confidence to do that.
Crazy.
And she just spent time, when I say speaking life into us, I don't think she knew, she definitely didn't know what we were coming from, and I don't think she knew how much we needed to hear it.
Yeah.
And she was adamant in not letting us go before giving us our flowers.
Yeah.
And she spoke so much life into us, and I think it just came at the perfect time, and it was God's reminder that awards are not what you're going to use to measure your success.
Absolutely.
What you're going to use to measure your success is how many lives you've touched. And she was just, it was like God wrote that moment himself to remind us of that. And I think meeting all of you guys, like honestly, when you see us, no matter how stressed or tired we look, please always feel free to come and talk to us and
we
come
need
and
it.
Tell us like if you're liking it, what it's doing for you, because we need it.
The encouragement, genuinely the encouragement is necessary. It is not easy to, I'm sure you guys can relate in a different sphere if you're not a podcaster or you're not building, you know, a business or an organization or whatever. It is not easy to turn up every single week, sometimes twice a week, sometimes multiple times, in addition to everything else that we're doing as part of this movement. So it's not even just about coming up here and that talking, chatting with my best mate, as much as it's great. It's sometimes it's not great because we're tired or it's a random time in the day, or, you know, it's in between work or whatever. It is not easy to speak life into other people. And we have thousands of people that listen to us. Praise the Lord. We love all of you. But we sometimes need folks to speak life into us. And we have been so privileged over this year in particular. I definitely resonate. There's been so many people that have been speaking life into us. There's been so many people that are in close proximity to us that have really taken us under their wing and have made it a priority to actively speak life into us and speak seeds into us. We are not like, we were even bantering, I think the other day, it's like, oh, we don't see ourselves as celebrities one at bit. All. And I don't think there will ever be a time where we see ourselves as celebrities, because that's cringe and gross. It's a bit gross. Gross. But also, I'm not David Beckham, you know what I'm saying? But it just goes to show that we are human beings that also need affirmation and also could do with our community pouring back into us so that we can do the work that we do. So, you know, the buildings of the school, there's so much stuff that is so part of this expansive vision that we have for womanhood. This is more than just us, and it's something that we've had to reiterate and even affirm amidst ourselves. This is more than just us coming to speak to you guys and speak life into you. It's really about creating that life as well, right? It's about seeing a vision of a better womanhood, and sometimes we need that life reaffirmed into us. It also reminds me of the experience that we had with the sit down most recently.
Shout out to
Tophead, the whole team, Rax, our events manager. We, you know that we love you. Like, this is actually a public declaration of love. And one thing that we really pride ourselves on at To My Sisters is, in any capacity that you interact with us, whether it be listening to our podcast, working with us, we want to leave you with a positive sisterhood relationship experience, right? So we were invited to speak at the Sit Down UK's event. It was their last event of the year, and we were super honored to be invited to close out the year. And what we were not expecting for them to do is to literally give us back our flowers. So there was a segment in the show and in the conversation where they literally stopped and said, hey, we want to give you your flowers, and brought roses for the folks that were present to give us roses and basically say, like, this is the way that you've contributed to my life, or you've contributed to the community or to the society. And again, another opportunity for us to, you know, watery eyes just a bit, you know. So somebody was chopping onions somewhere in the back. I think we had a burger that had like one slice of onion in it. But just even that visceral, physical reminder that the work that we do is important. Sometimes we need it. It's necessary, and it gives us energy, and we need to stay encouraged, because, child, the mountains that are ahead of us in 2024 are insane.
Well.
And we need our community to be insaner. So, if you want to come with that energy, obviously, for don't real. Approach us and you're a bit like mad. Don't come here and say girl to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, but definitely, like, we need the encouragement. And I guess in 2023, we have come to learn that encouragement is important, not just in terms of what we're speaking into, but ensuring that we encourage ourselves and have people to encourage us.
For real, man. Wow. But it's been an amazing year. Like, we actually thank you. Just thank you so much. I don't think we can express how much our lives have changed since starting To My Sisters. Insane. And it has been an honor actually serving you guys. It's been an honor getting to realize that, like, so many of you all around the world actually listen to us, whether it's just one episode here and there, just following the podcast on socials, or being here every single week, coming to an international retreat, coming to an event, supporting brands that we work with, whatever it is. Like, just thank you so much. Thank you. Like, even our own mothers look at us in the eye sometimes and they're like, what you're building here is special.
It's something special.
So honestly, thank you so much for allowing this to be our legacy. And to continually showing up. Like, words cannot express how grateful we are. And we know that even as you have gone through a lot of the challenges, whether it's ones that you relate to that we've discussed about, or ones which we can't even relate to at all, just well done for making it through. Well done for making it through. And we pray that you continue to encourage yourself as Amen. We enter a new year, but also that you reflect at the fact that you are still here.
Still
you made
here.
It through. Okay, so that brings us to the end of today's ep. Merry Christmas, girlies.
Merry Christmas to
Merry
one and all.
Merry Christmas, sisters, brothers, mm-hmm, merry mm-hmm, women, mm-hmm, gentlemen, mm-hmm, and theys everywhere.
Everybody.
The non-binary.
Everybody
can
get everywhere.
Every single person. Thank you so much. Have an amazing Christmas, and we will talk to you next week. There's not going to be a season break this year.
Yeah.
We're coming straight out the
kitchen.
So season 5 will come upon ya.
I mean,
anticipate
even,
that.
Yeah, even with the anticipation of season 5, there's a couple new things that will be happening over at TMS. So we hope that you guys are excited. Yeah, whilst you're enjoying your mince pies, if you enjoy them though.
I love mince pies. I love mince pies. Mince pies with custard. Mince pies with ice cream.
Anyway, we should all know less about each other. I didn't know you liked it like that, though.
I love mince pies.
Really? Yeah, yeah, the Christmas yeah. ones?
Yes.
The fruity ones?
Yes.
Do you like Christmas pudding?
No.
Okay. That's good. That's
because it's good. Alcohol. Like, I don't like desserts that have that alcohol that taste. Rummy. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really like that.
But you like a good rum cake.
Sticky toffee pudding.
Love it.
Yeah. That's actually probably
ice
the best
cream
dessert.
Or custard.
Preferably ice cream. Mm-hmm. Preferably ice cream, mm-hmm. but I could also do a custard.
I hear it. I'm glad that you said that the best dessert. Was that what you're gonna say? One of the best desserts.
Is what?
Sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah. Top tier. Apple crumble.
I just wanna say Costco, you do a great sticky toffee pudding.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
Oh my gosh, I
might even purchase it for
yes,
YouTube.
Please.
Yeah. They do a fantastic, but you know what? They have it with clotted cream.
You know what, clotted cream is the most elite topping, accoutrement, what do you call it, accessory, side, what do you call it,
what do you call it?
accoutrement.
Ah, français. Hey.
But like, it's just the best. Like,
yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Clotted cream on a scone with jam.
What do you know about us British girlies?
British. That's what the British will jump
Get
out of me.
Get us a scone and a clotted cream and a little bit of jam.
With a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, Bob's your uncle.
And
thank
a nice
you very
finger
much.
Sandwich.
Oh,
jeez.
Call me
jeez.
Catherine from Essex. Jeez, that is right up my street. I'll
we need to do afternoon tea. Uh-huh. But yeah, Christmas is upon us. What's your favourite Christmas food?
We would love
you know?
To hear.
And literally from all over the world, tell us what you like eating at Christmas. Because I know some of you are currently, you're preparing the guinea fowl.
The turkey leg,
the turkey tail, all of that stuff. See, Some of you are preparing your favorite stew.
Listen, I love Nigerians. Yeah, they will come and say, "What do you mean jollof rice is for Christmas?" I don't doubt you.
Bit Asian girls, what's your favorite thing to pull out at a Christmas time? Like, let us know what you guys are enjoying for Christmas or this festive period. We know that Christmas isn't necessarily something that everyone in our community celebrates either, so we just hope that you have a great festive period,
100%.
A great restful time.
Yep.
We love and adore you all. Follow us on social media at To My Sisterhood. That's what you can get us for Christmas. Sign up to the mailing list if you want to put a bow on that Christmas gift. You can sign up to that at tomysisters.com, and then enjoy yourselves.
Yeah.
Just enjoy yourselves, okay? Spread light and love and laughter. Love you all so much. And as always, keep glowing and growing.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.